Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service for public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on four-eyed fantasies. When we come back, you know, when you have an income of $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 of that in Social Security taxes if you're self-employed, paying the advertised 15.3%. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% of that $50,000 twice? But you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax, and then they turn around and make you pay 17% of that same $50,000 in income tax, which means that you paid 17% of the $7,650 twice. Now, that's a little bookkeeping trick, and that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and from everybody else that pays that tax. Now, what would you think if Sears, Penny's, or your credit card company charged you twice like Social Security and the IRS does? Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, our school, Tax and Status, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that same free general CD law satir package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of fluoride fantasies. What are the truths and what are the errors concerning fluoride? Boy, there's a bunch of them. And last time I gave you about 15 side effects that come from fluoride. 15. I haven't got into it hot and heavy yet. But I would contend that if you got 15 things wrong with a product, you know, if you had a car that had 15 things wrong with it, you'd call it a lemon, wouldn't you? I mean, if you went down and bought a new car and you had 15 complaints about it, you know, it causes Down syndrome, bone cancer, tooth decay, blotched teeth, IQ deficiency, kidney damage, lead in the blood, lesions in the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, smell sensory disorders, hypothyroidism with 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning, that's 15 things wrong with the product called fluoride in your drinking water. Hell, if I had a car that had that many problems, I'd sell it and give it to some other poor sucker and buy something different. A bicycle, maybe. Well, Dr. Linda Page, who's a naturopathic doctor. I know that's a strange term. Most people are familiar with medical doctors. You know, well, there's another kind of doctor called a naturopathic doctor. And they don't work with drugs. And of course, they try to keep people well and healthy. The primary goal, you know, of a doctor ought to be to keep you out of the hospital. I know that's why I hired Old Bickle, our lawyer, was to keep me out of trouble. Well, after I got into trouble three times and he lost three cases, I woke up one day and I said, you know, I think I could go into court and lose free. I don't need to pay this guy $6,000 a year to go into court and lose. I think I'm good enough to do that. And I took over my own legal affairs from that point on, and I've had a great, great success, greater success than my lawyer ever had. And one day I woke up and I took over my medical affairs. Well, that was a wild new concept, too, being medically competent. George Gordon is medically competent, and I don't have a doctor. Isn't that special? No, sirree, Bob. I don't have a doctor. I remember my granny, she had a doctor, and she would announce from time to time when she got back from the doctor. She said, I'm under doctor orders. I'm under doctor's orders. Well, my name is George Gordon, and I'm not under any doctor's orders. I'm not under any doctor's supervision. I don't allow doctors to dictate and tell me how to live my life, or lawyers, or bankers, or number of other paid professionals. And I did a series on professionals here not too long ago. I said, you know, these professionals over here, I'm not so sure that these guys are quite as good as they're cracked up to be. Well, here's a lady, her name is Linda Page, and she put out this letter here on the web. If you want a copy of it, it's www.ccnh.edu. It's easy enough. www.ccnh.edu. It's a newsletter. And this lady is a naturopath, and she's a little different than medical doctors. She tries to keep people well. And her conclusion from her experience She said, you know, this fluoride's bad stuff. And she went on to say here that it's not the only problem with fluoride. We've been told how good it is for us, but I'd like to dispel some of these myths about fluoride, she says. And she starts off by saying, fiction. Fluoride is a natural substance. Fact. Fluoride occurs naturally in some water supplies as natural calcium fluoride, but the type of fluoride added to water and toothpaste is a hazardous waste byproduct called hydrofluosilic acid. I guess that's the way you pronounce that. It's about 15 or 20 letters long here, and it wouldn't mean anything to you anyway, but it's a waste byproduct coming from the phosphate fertilizer industry. Fiction. Fluoride reduces tooth decay. Fact. A recent analysis of national survey data collected by the National Institute of Dental Research shows that children who live in areas of the United States where the water supplies are fluoridated have tooth decay rates identical with those who live in non-fluoridated areas, and further, recent large-scale studies show no difference in decay rates of permanent teeth in fluoridated and non-fluoridated areas. Did you get that? I'm going to underline the word no difference. Let's suppose that we tested this. Let's suppose I came to you and I said, hey, listen, there's a lot of bald-headed people in Ozark County, Missouri, and we want to eliminate bald heads. So here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that we add one part per million of Pennzoil 30 weight into the water supply to eliminate baldness in the population of Ozark County. And I get out here with a media blitz, and I say, well, we got a lot of scientists over here with PhDs, which means piled higher and deeper. We got these PhDs over here, and they've done extensive research along with the United States Army. And we've concluded that when we add one part per million of Pennzoil 30 weight motor oil to the water supply, that it eliminates or alleviates or it benefits baldness. And let's suppose you people all believed it. Okay. So we go around Ozark County and we put Pennzoil 30 weight motor oil in our water supply. And we do this for 50 years. And we're all convinced that now there's still some baldness around there, just like there's still tooth decay. And then some guy comes along like this goofy Linda Page, ND, and she comes to the conclusion that, well, maybe we ought to test this scientifically. Maybe we ought to take a look at some people over in Howell County or up in Douglas County where they don't have any Pennzoil in their water supplies. And let's take a look at the rate of baldness in those counties. And they take a look at it and they say, well, my goodness, there isn't any difference in the rate of baldness in Howell County, Ozark County, or Douglas County. Now, what would that tell you? Well, I think it would tell you that Pennzoil does not prevent baldness. But the addition of Pennzoil into the water supply might cause some other problems that we hadn't anticipated. That's what they did with fluoride in the water supply. They came out and they said, well, we think this fluoride in the water supply will prevent tooth decay. Hell, it might be the greatest stuff in the world. They ought to take a look at baldness. Maybe it has eliminated baldness. I don't know. Maybe there was a side effect that was beneficial, but it didn't do anything for tooth decay. Fiction. Mandatory water fluoridation is safe. Then they came along and said, hey, even if it doesn't fix your kid's teeth, it's totally safe and doesn't cause any harm. Here's the fact. An enormous body of evidence from both animal and human epidemiology, you get that word, epidemiology studies, is now clear. Fluoride exposure is linked to cancer, genetic damage, nervous system dysfunction, bone diseases, and studies also link fluoride exposure to lowered IQ in children. Let's see, was there anything new here? Fluoride exposure is linked to cancer. I got that, bone cancer. Genetic damage. No, I didn't have that one down. Let's put that one down. Genetic damage now. That's just icing on the cake. Genetic damage takes us up to 16. Nervous system dysfunction. Have I got anything down here like nervous system dysfunction? No. Let's put that one down. Nervous system dysfunction. All right, now we got 17 side effects that come from this stuff, and I haven't gotten serious yet. I got an article in here that gets real serious here, just right after I get through with Dr. Page. Here's some more fluoride facts. The fluoride is more toxic than lead. Now, you people are very cautious about lead. In fact, they took lead out of the paint, for crying out loud, because the children were running around eating the wallboards off of the walls of houses over here because they were suffering from mineral deficiencies, and so they like calves, you know. They're out here eating the wooden corral fences, you know. It's called pica. You get this pica stain. So the little kids are over here eating this lead paint, and that was so bad and so toxic, they said, well, we've got to take this lead out of paint. They didn't say, my God, let's feed our children and eliminate this mineral deficiency. They said, no, let the kids go ahead and starve. That's fine. We don't care about starving kids. We just don't want them to eat the lead-based paint. It's okay if they eat the paint off of the woodwork. We don't care about that. But we don't want them to poison themselves by getting lead out of that paint. So they made all the paint manufacturers take the lead out of the paint. But it seemed like to me that you could have left the lead in the paint and feed the kids so that the kids aren't minerally deficient and they don't have pica in the pica. Then, you know, calves, once they get a mineral balance, you put a mineral block out there, I think, what was this guy, you know, the dead doctors don't lie guy, Joel Wallach, remember him? He said, you know, if you want to solve these, some of these problems over here, you solve it the way we solve the problems among cattle, sheep. You know, you go down to the feed store and you buy a mineral block and bring it home, put it on the dining room table. And then every time you walk by it, you just reach over and you lick it. It's a salt lick is what it is. It's full of minerals. It eliminates disease in cattle, and it will eliminate disease in people. Of course, people, you know, when you tell them that, you know, they get real uppity about that, and they kind of snoot and hoot and chortle a little bit, and say, this guy's a madman. Well, okay, if you want to be fancy about it, you could take a knife and scrape a little off, put it in a shaker, and sprinkle it on your beans, I guess, if you wanted to. But, you know, cows, they're handicapped, and they don't have knives, and they can't scrape the salt off, so they go by and lick it. So Noel Wallach said, you just put one of them on your dining room table, and every member of the family needs to be instructed when you walk by, take a lick or two, and they'll solve your problem, eliminates pica. And so here's this doctor. She's telling you about the same thing. She's saying it's more toxic than lead, and you've got real concerned about lead toxicity. Seems like to me that if you got a poison, and get this, nobody's putting lead in your drinking water now, are they? Hell, that was a byproduct, you know, that was in a product called paint. And so you got real excited about that. You didn't get excited about feeding your kids, but you got excited about them getting poisoned by lead. Don't you think maybe you might want to get excited about your kids being poisoned by something that's more lethal than the lead? Makes more sense to me. Studies show that fluoride is linked to Alzheimer's and senile dementia. And in areas where fluorosis, fluoride poisoning, is prevalent, a higher concentration of fluoride is found in the developing brain tissue of unborn children. Hip fracture rates are much higher in people residing in fluoridated communities. Let's put hip, what did they say, their hip fracture? They can't say broken hip. That's because they're doctors, you see. Only plumbers call those broken hips. If you're a doctor, it's called a fracture. So I'm going to put down fracture down there so that we can be scientific about this. We wouldn't want to be common. Now, postmenopausal women, people 50 and over, people with nutrient deficiencies, and people with cardiovascular and kidney problems are especially affected by fluoride exposure. And then the U.S. National Research Council admits that dental fluorosis affects from 8 to 51% of the children drinking fluoridated water. I guess that means 8% in California and 51% in Massachusetts or something on that order. 8 to 51% is a pretty significant difference. So then she goes on and asks this question, is fluoride toothpaste safe? And the answer to this question is a resounding no. The Poison Control Center receives 11,000 calls a year because of poisoning from ingesting fluoride toothpaste. I wonder how many kids got poisoned every year from lead-based paint and pica, you know, eating the woodwork. I don't know. I didn't check that one out, but there's 11,000 calls a year going into the Poison Control Center every year because of poisoning that comes from, more than likely, toothpaste. In 1997, the FDA even mandated a poison warning label on fluoride toothpaste. Small children who tend to swallow toothpaste are most at risk. Signs of fluoride poisoning include vomiting and muscle cramps. Look for non-fluoridated toothpaste like Nature's Gate Spearmint or Cinnamon Toothpaste at your health food store. So let me put down poisoning here. Poisoning. Now, it would seem like to me, just being a layperson over here, you know, a plumber and all, it would seem like to me, it would make more sense that if you had a poison in your food and water, that you'd want to remove it, even more so than removing it from paint. Normal people aren't running around eating the woodwork. But your children are running around eating the toothpaste. Now, it would seem like to me that if you had lead in your Oreo cookies, wouldn't you suggest that we take the lead out of the Oreo cookies? That's what you did with lead-based paint. But, you know, normal people aren't running around chowing down on paint, are they? I can't ever remember running around eating the woodwork, you know, but there are some children that do that, and that lead's bad for them, and we don't deny that. And fluoride's bad for them, and I don't think we can deny that now, can we? How many are we up to now? Let's see. We have genetic damage, Down syndrome, bone cancer, blotched teeth, tooth decay, IQ deficiency, kidney damage, lead in the blood, lesions to the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, smell sensory disorders, hypothyroidism, 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning, nervous system dysfunction, and hip fracture. Well, I got that poisoning down there twice. I'll take that one out. Let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 side effects. Now remember, we haven't got serious yet. We're going to get serious, but we haven't done that yet. So as we near the millennium, our country is in a grave situation. She says the widespread use of fluoride in our dental products, food, and beverages is causing massive fluoride poisoning in the United States. Plus, the fluoridated water affects our food supply. Fruits and vegetables watered with fluoridated water mean toxic fluoride is leached into the produce that you eat. Not even organic produce is safe from fluoride in the water supply. Okay, I'm going to put a bracket around that one there, and I'm going to put down activated charcoal. There is something you can do about this. If you take about 2 capsules of activated charcoal every day, you could absorb a lot of that poison that you're ingesting, and I'll tell you a little story about that. One of these days we'll have to do a program here too on this activated charcoal. But the first time that I heard of this was in 1806. A French chemist decided that activated charcoal was the natural antidote to poisoning. So he took 3 grams of arsenic. Now, I don't know how much 3 grams is. That's, you know, 3 grams, that's quite a bit. You know, it's an ounce is 28.1 grams, or 31 or something like that, 28 or 31. It's around 30. And then about 10% of an ounce is what this guy took. And then he followed that up with about 10 times that much charcoal. And I just got a new article the other day, 10 times. So he took about 1 ounce of activated charcoal. Now, charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its own weight in toxic substances. So, you know, we're talking about these chemtrails and the poisons that are coming from them, or we're talking about lead in the paint, we're talking about fluoride in the water and so on. Activated charcoal. Tuck that one away in your heart, children. Activated charcoal. You can get it in any drugstore. Now, we're not talking about charcoal briquettes. You know, we're not talking about the stuff, you know, that you cook your barbecued ribs on. We're talking about the same stuff that you put in your fish filter, in your aquarium. Charcoal, activated charcoal. Special stuff. Human grade would be a pretty good buy. And you can buy the stuff already in capsules. And you just take a couple of those capsules, especially when you think you've been poisoned, you know, which is, you know, for you people in the cities every day that you're taking chlorine and fluoride. Now, people throughout the United States need to work hard to stop this mandatory water fluoridation before it's too late. I don't know when it's too late. It would seem like to me that the time is already late. So if you want to stop mandatory water fluoridation, you want to contact, and then they got a bunch of contact names here if you want to get politically active and get real excited. Or you can call this lady. Now, this lady's got a natural healing report, and you can call 1-800-408-0081. Remember, her name now is Linda Page. And I gave you the website here, and this lady's name is Linda Page, and her telephone number is 1-800-408-0081 for information about Dr. Linda Page's natural healing report. Do you have questions about natural healing? Call the Natural Health Information Line at 1-900. Oh, I won't give you that number. 900? 900? God, that's the first step toward systemic fraud, calling the 900 number. Call the toll-free number at 1-800-408-0081. Okay, and so much for that discussion. Now let's get serious. Now we'll tell you what's wrong with fluoride. Fluoride fantasies. In surveys, both here and in Western Europe, show that the reduction in dental caries over the past 20 years is just as great in unfluoridated as well as in fluoridated communities. That's John R. Lee, M.D. Even the Journal of the American Dental Association states that the current reported decline in caries in the U.S. and other Western industrialized countries has been observed in both fluoridated and non-fluoridated communities, with percentage reductions in each community apparently the same. Chemical and Engineering News, August 1, 1988. A computer analysis of the data from the largest dental survey ever done of nearly 40,000 school children by the National Institutes of Dental Research revealed no correlation between tooth decay and fluoridation. In fact, many of the non-fluoridated cities had better tooth decay rates than fluoridated cities, and the city with the lowest rate of tooth decay was not fluoridated, and of the three with the highest rate of decay, two were partially fluoridated. Now, the Missouri State Bureau of Dental Health had conducted a survey of more than 6,500 lifelong resident second and sixth grade children in various parts of Missouri, and they found that overall there was no significant difference between children drinking optimally fluoridated water and children who were drinking suboptimally fluoridated water. And Albert W. Bergstaller, Ph.D., professor of chemistry at the University of Kansas, discovered that. School districts reporting the highest caries-free rates were totally unfluoridated. Now, how do you explain that? A.S. Gray, DDS, Journal of the Canadian Dental Association, periodical number 10, 1987. Infant mortality rates are highest in fluoridated cities. Oh, my God. I got to write another one on our list here. Infant mortality rates. Infant mortality rates. All right. Figures released by the National Center for Health Statistics reveal that infant mortality is a big problem in the United States. This data shows that the 10 cities with the worst rate of infant mortality have all been artificially fluoridated for at least 17 years or longer. After the first year of fluoridation, Kansas City, Missouri's infant mortality increased by 13%. Let me write that down again. After the first full year of fluoridation in Kansas City, Missouri, the infant mortality rate increased by 13%. That was reported in the Kansas City Star on November the 21st, 1982. After the fifth year of fluoridation in Kansas City, the infant mortality rate increased to 36%. Not to 36, but infant mortality had increased by 36%. reported in the Kansas City Star, February the 26th, 1987. Japan, with no fluoridation, underline Japan, with no fluoridation, has the lowest infant mortality rate in the world, and it has the longest life expectancy. Oh, my God. Let's put down life expectancy here. Life expectancy, that's another side effect, you know. How do you spell expectancy here? A-C-Y, all right, life expectancy. Highest is in Japan with no fluoridation. Oh, my God. Now, somebody needs to go to Japan and straighten those fools out over there. Who in the hell wants long life expectancy? What the hell those people want to do, live forever? And I say we need more fluoride in Tokyo. Fluoridation, Mind Control in the Masses by Ian E. Stephen. Extracted from his self-published booklet, The Dickinson Statement, a mind-boggling thesis, published in Nexus Magazine in August-September 1995 issue. Despite the damning evidence on fluoride toxicity, bureaucracies and multinational corporations continue to pollute our drinking water and mess with our physical and mental health. The story has a beginning and has a middle, but it has no ending as of yet. The ending will undoubtedly be written in countless hospital records, on tiny gravestones, or in the bones of the crippled and on the hearts of the bereaved. Even so, the true cause of the ending will never be advertised. One record that slipped past the establishment net is duplicated here, but, believe it or not, the existence of this death certificate has been denied in writing and to oversee scientific inquiry by Australian administrators. Now, what follows is but a fractional part of the middle of the story that began before the turn of the century and which was provoked by a statement contained in an address in reply to the government's speech to Parliament, as recorded in the Victorian Hansard of 12 August 1987, by Mr. Harley Rivers Dickinson, a member of the Liberal Party of the Victorian Parliament for South Barwon. This is out of Australia now, hence the title. The relevant Hansard abstract is reproduced herewith, and it is emphasized that the writer imputes Mr. Dickinson with no other responsibility for the contents of this thesis than being the parliamentary trigger which motivated it and researched the data which it contains. Remember, I told you we'd get serious here. But before we get any more seriouser, let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. It's a very nominal cost. It's free. And the number to call to order your free copy is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. That nominal cost being the cost of the phone call and your time. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these guys that we cite here are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may or may not be totally or partially endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program, though, are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website. It's number one website, georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. Or you can simply call us here. That's a little easier. Just pick up the telephone and dial 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. and some sweet young thing will answer the telephone and take your order or answer your question. Assuming they know the answers, of course. All right, we're talking about something real serious here called Four-Eyed Fantasies. And this is a report now from the, let me give you the citation on this report again. Kind of a complex citation. It was from Australia. What follows is a fractional part of the middle of a story that began before the turn of the century. It's an address and reply to the government's speech to Parliament. It was recorded in the Victorian Hansard, H-A-N-S-A-R-D, of 12 August 1987, by Mr. Harley Rivers Dickerson. He's a member, or was a member, of the Liberal Party of the Victorian Parliament for South Barwon, Australia. So here's what Mr. Dickerson reported. He said, at the end of the Second World War, the United States government sent Charles Elliot Perkins, a research worker in chemistry, biochemistry, physiology, and pathology, to take charge of the vast Farben chemical plants in Germany. While he was there, he was told by the German chemists of a scheme which had been worked out by them during the war and adopted by the German general staff. There was no control, and so there was a plan to control the population in any given area through mass medication of the drinking water. In this scheme, sodium fluoride occupied a prominent place. All right, let me pause right there. Let me put an arrow right there. Let me repeat that, children. There was no control. So there was a plan to control the population in any given area through mass medication of drinking water. In this scheme, sodium fluoride occupied a prominent place. Repeated doses of infinitesimal amounts of fluoride will, in time, reduce an individual's power to resist domination by slowly poisoning and narcotizing a certain area of the brain, and will thus make him submissive to the will of those who wish to govern him. My God, let me put another arrow there. And this goes back to World War II, children. Both the Germans and the Russians added sodium fluoride to the drinking water of prisoners to make them stupid and docile. Well, it just about describes the American public of today. There's a lady by the name of the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And this lady's name, a pretty odd name, too. Charlotte Isherby. I won't attempt to spell her name, and it isn't spelled anyway near the way it sounds. So phonetics won't help you. I don't know where she's from, Lithuania or Australia or someplace, some foreign place where they don't speak English, but I presume that she's an American, probably been here for many years. And she used to work for the Reagan administration in the Department of Education, and she wrote a great big thick book. And I did a report on that book, recommended it highly. It was $50. Hell, if the book cost $150, the information contained in it was worth $150. So $50 is a bargain. And she explained how this process works in the educational system. Now let's combine that with this stupid drug called fluoride. That's a good name for that, but fluoride. It's called the stupid drug. And it's designed to make people stupid and docile. And both the Germans and the Russians added that sodium fluoride to their drinking water, especially of their prisoners of war, to make them stupid and docile. In a book written by Dr. Hans Molenberg, he's of Harlem, Holland, called Fluoride, The Freedom Fight, the author describes the ultimately successful endeavors to free the Dutch people from water fluoridation. Those endeavors included the only properly conducted double-blind study ever done anywhere in the world into the effects of tap water fluoridation at one part of fluoride to 1 million parts of water. One brief passage is headed Perkins, and a reproduction of that section gives sufficient confirmation by a remote and independent source of the Dickinson statement, as printed in Hansard, to reinforce the need for additional investigation into this one behavior control aspect of the fluoride debate and relate it to 1987. The entire Perkins paragraph is reproduced below. Elsewhere in this book, Dr. Molenberg also related how the first Perkins anecdote was confirmed in differing ways and from the reliable independent sources. Perkins, quotation. When 1971 was drawing to a close, I received a paper containing a strange story. And this story was to haunt us repeatedly throughout the long drawn-out battle. It was a story resembling science fiction. It was bizarre. It was unbelievable. Now, there are those who warned me not to even mention this story, and I can appreciate now why. But on the other hand, the task of a historian is not to relate things as they should have happened. The duty of a historian is to report facts the way they actually did happen. So the Perkins saga was different from other fluoride stories. The story of industries hoodwinking the public into buying a pollutant as a medicine, simply whodunit, grotesque though it may sound, it is no more than the consumer fraud of this polluted century, as described in Fluoridation and and Truth Decay by Gladys Caldwell, but the story I now read was different. It gave us, one, the cold shivers. It told of a chemical engineer, Mr. Perkins, who related how immediately after the Second World War, he was one of the Americans put into the well-known IG Farben Chemical Company in Germany. And it was there that he discovered that IG Farben had developed plans during the war to fluoridate the occupied countries, because it had been found that fluoridation causes slight damage to a specific part of your brain. And this damage had a very particular effect. It made it more difficult for the person affected to defend his freedom. He became more docile towards authority. Scientists in the camps of both opponents and proponents of fluoride have always dismissed this story as mere poppycock. But it had a life of its own, and it reared its head time and time again. And it fed the suspicions of many people that there was more to this fluoridation story than meets the eye. So let me pause right here and make my independent observation here. As we've seen so far in this fluoridation story, there is absolutely no benefits whatsoever to fluoridation in human consumption or for human consumption, either in food or water whatsoever. And the argument that they've used for day one is that it benefits your teeth is just pure fantasy. Now, we already know that. So then what in the hell are we still doing it for? It's got these 19 side effects. Remember, genetic damage, Down syndrome, bone cancer, tooth decay, blotched teeth, IQ deficiency, kidney damage, lead in the blood, lesions in the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, smell sensory disorders, hypothyroidism, 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning, nervous system dysfunction, decreases life expectancy, it increases infant mortality rates, and hip fractures. Now, those are the side effects. That isn't even the serious part of the story. The serious part of the story is what in the hell are they doing it for? You can rest assured your government isn't putting fluoride into your water because they're going to benefit your teeth. Hell, we all know better than that. So there's got to be some other motivation, some other reason for doing this. It's like the contrails that you see in your sky every day. I was talking to old Frank, the gold broker, the other night, and old Frank, who has a lot of contacts with a lot of high-power people. You know, people that buy gold have a lot of money. Poor people don't buy gold. Poor people don't eat brie. So old Frank was talking to an airline pilot, who happens, you know, airline pilots typically, are ex-military people. Airline pilots fly all over the world, and they see things that the rest of us don't see. That's because they travel further and wider. So this airline pilot, who flies a 747 for some big airline, who happens to be ex-military, has friends in the military. So he called one of his military buddies, some guy who's a general in the Air Force, and he said, "Hey, Bob, I'm flying all over the world in my 747, and while I'm tooling around the world, I see these contrails all over the sky." And he said, "I'm wondering what in the hell they are. Do you know?" And old Bob said, "No, I don't." And he said, "I see them out there, too. Let me look into that for you." So they ended the conversation, and sometime later, old Bill, the 747 pilot, he calls old Bob, the Air Force general, and he says, "Hey, Bob, what'd you find out about those contrails?" And Bob, the Air Force general, said to him, "What contrails? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what contrails are. I never heard of them. I don't see them. And I don't think you've seen any either. And there's nothing more to be said about it." Now, children, if contrails up there in the sky had something good for you and the politicians over here were benefiting you, they would be pointing up at the sky and telling you, "Look at those contrails and all the wonderful things we're doing. We're eliminating tooth decay. We're extending your lifespan, and we're cutting the cancer rate, and we're eliminating baldness with these sprays that we're putting all over the skies. Out of Title 50 of the U.S. Code, by the way. And we're doing all of this at taxpayer expense because we're just real concerned about your health, safety, and welfare. And we're just here to protect the American people," as George Bush would say. "My duty is to protect the American people with fluoride and contrails." Now, come on, kids, let's wake up and get real here. Now, there's got to be something more to it than tooth decay. Not that I know any more than you do, being just a lowly plumber and all, but I'm smart enough to know that water runs downhill and payday is on Friday. And that's a step in the right direction. And people that are sucking up fluoride in their drinking water over there, I don't think have the sense to know that water runs downhill and payday is on Friday. And if this part of the story is true, then I know they don't know whether water runs uphill or downhill. Now listen to this. He went on to say, as far as I know, there's no one who has done any serious research into whether the fluoridated person is really more docile, easier to rule, more impressed by authority than the non-fluoridated ones. There is, however, one peculiar thing. Every Dutch doctor has a medical reference book for 1984, and one of those chapters is entitled Tranquilizers. And when you look at the minor tranquilizers, you'll find 24 substances. And their chemical formula do not show any connection with fluoride. However, there is also a heading called major tranquilizers, and of those, there are 27. and 7 of them are fluoride compounds. Get that, children? Now, one of these fluoride compounds is called SEMAP, spelled S-E-M-A-P, and it is one of the strongest antipsychotic substances that we know of. Now, this means that 25% of the major tranquilizers are connected with fluoride. Now, I don't draw any conclusions from this. The only thing that I can say at this point is, like Alice, this is becoming curiouser and curiouser. Now, there's a thing here called induced apathy. Now, actually, there is little that is novel in the concept of mind control and manners of the multitude by chemical dietary means. That is, was practiced by Hitler's regime, is made the more credible when we know that as far back as 1938, the U.S. government, an ally to boot now, and the government of the Democratic Christian country was, or a Democratic Christian country, was considering the transformation of American citizens and others into zombies by a number of proposed techniques. The U.S. Army searched for the perfect incapacitating agent, according to General Fallenz, spelled F-E-L-L-E-N-Z, Fallenz maybe, to put in the enemy's water supply. Included in the drugs tested were the hallucinogenic LSD and the amnesiac BZ, 10 times more potent than LSD, and a schizophrenic agent called bulbocapine, B-U-L-B-O-C-A-P-I-N-E, I suppose that's bulbocapine. Now, the Rockefeller report to the United States President on CIA activity said the drug program was part of a much larger CIA program to study possible means of controlling human behavior. One drug, which received special attention back in the 1950s and early 60s, was the cryptonym of MK-Ultra, which was, now, this is a strange word here, succinylmethanoamine chloride. I'll spell it for you, S-U-X-A-M-E-T-H-O-N-I-U-M chloride, whatever that is, listed under a number of product names, including anectine, A-N-E-C-T-I-N-E, a halogenate, it's an H-A-L-O-G-E-N-A-T-E-D, anti-cholinergic agent with all of the symptomatic side effects up to and including cardiac arrest ascribed to those agents in the medical literature. Well, whatever this stuff is, boys and girls, we can't pronounce it, and it probably ain't very good for us. Now, please retain the term anti-cholinergic in mind, for owing to the public implications attendant to this particular anti-metabolic activity, it figures repeatedly in this thesis. And here's a note. An advisor to the U.S. government on hypnotism, or psychological behavior control, a fellow by the name of Dr. George Estabrooks, later became chairman of the Department of Psychology at Colgate University internationally. Colgate was and remains the most ardent producer and advocate for the fluoridation of the domestic product fluoridated toothpaste. Now, remember a little earlier I mentioned, as a businessman, you know, if I was in business, I would want to sell as much toothpaste as I possibly could. But boys and girls, when you put fluoride into the toothpaste, it becomes so toxic, 11,000 people a year have to call the poison control center. I don't know how many people die from it. I haven't got a clue. Nobody said yet. But you got 11,000 toxic reactions that require, or people believe that, they need to call the poison control center. Now, we'll take lead out of the paint, which isn't a food supply, but we won't take fluoride out of the toothpaste or out of the Oreo cookies, which is in the food supply. Now, kids, there's got to be a reason why we're so damn hell-bent on keeping this fluoride in the food. It's got to be important. You know, anybody in his right mind would sit there and say, you got to be out of your cotton-picking mind to leave a toxic poison like that in your food supply, especially if you're the Pepsodent company. Because you've got to advise people right on the label. Now, when you're putting this stuff in your mouth, just put a pea-sized amount on the toothbrush. Now, you know, when we want to sell gasoline, you know, when we're selling gasoline, we want to encourage people to have a V8, not a four-cylinder in line. We want to encourage people to have a four-barrel carburetor so that this car gets about 8 miles to the gallon, like the 56 Chevy did. I mean, you could step on the gas and peel rubber. It'd go 120 miles an hour and get 8 miles to the gallon. When gasoline was 30 cents a gallon, made all the sense in the world. After all, you know, when you're ExxonMobil and you're selling gasoline, you want to burn as much gas as you can. Boys and girls, when you're in the toothpaste business, common sense tells you you want to sell as much toothpaste as you can. You want to encourage these kids to put that toothpaste on from the first bristle to the last bristle and to waste as much as possible, including putting the stuff all the way up the handle until it gets onto your hands and fingers. Clamp your armpits, for crying out loud. That's what I'd be doing if I was selling toothpaste. And you can't do that when you're putting fluoride in the toothpaste. So the Colgate people are putting fluoride in the toothpaste, not because they want to sell more toothpaste, because they want to sell less toothpaste, but they want that fluoride in there for some reason. Now, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I'm just a reporter. I'm just giving you facts here. You figure out for yourself. Why would a company like Colgate want to restrict toothpaste sales by putting fluoride, a deadly poison, which causes 11,000 calls to the Center for Poison Control, for crying out loud, 11,000 cases a year? We're not doing that because we're concerned about tooth decay. I mean, hell, that fluoride's already got to your brain if you think it's tooth decay is the reason for putting the fluoride in there. So whatever the reason is, kids, it's something kind of big and it's something kind of serious, and it has more to do with fluoridating the toothpaste than it does in selling toothpaste. Now, should the reader's mind be already boggled to the point of disbelief, there are two facts which, if known about or remembered, may instill sufficient confidence in that which is even more boggling and is yet to come. I told you I'd get serious with you here after we talked about this fluoride here and what it causes and what it does to you and all the side effects that come from it. We're up to about 20 now, aren't we? My God, bone cancer ain't too unserious. Genetic damage and Down syndrome, you know, tooth decay and blotched teeth we can live with. But what's this memory loss and Alzheimer's disease and lesions to the brain and IQ deficiency? I suppose these guys are messing with our brains because they want to dumb us down, like Charlotte Isherby pointed out in the Department of Education. You know, the smarter people are and the more informed that they are, the harder they are to control. You ever think about that? God, the last thing you wanted a black man to do is learn how to read and write. The guy could get dangerous, you know, if he had an education. We're about out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it right there. Put my little arrow over here, margin, so we can take this up next time. Talking about fluoride fantasy on the Law Hour and Editorial Review next time. But I want to remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and we are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back in a moment. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.